Hey, everybody, Dr. Ryan Molly here, and this is going to be an unbelievable episode. You definitely want to tune in. Stay tuned for the whole thing. This is somebody that I've wanted to have on for quite some time, and she's such a very warm, charismatic individual, very, very easy to talk to. It's Marsha Marsh. You guys that are here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Northwest Pennsylvania know her. She's a real estate agent. It's a family business. We talk everything from sports. She, you know, she has four boys. All were very active growing up and played multiple sports. She has 12 grandchildren. We talk about faith. We talk about just our passions in life and just what makes us tick. So stay tuned. Marsha Marsh coming your way next. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hey Sawbones, My Story, My Passion. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Molly, orthopedic surgeon, business owner, entrepreneur, cutter of bones, but most importantly, loving husband and father of three young and busy boys. And today, I have a local legend who knows all about busy boys, as she has multiple boys. She has four boys and multiple grandchildren, both boys and girls. One of the most sought-after real estate agents in Erie in the local area. Without further ado, Marsha Marsh.
Well, thank you, Dr. Molly. I
just call me Ryan, please.
I don't know how accomplished I am, but I do have a wonderful family. I grew up in Franklin, Pennsylvania, moved to Oil City, then moved to Cory, where I spent my whole life until 1991 when we were moved because my husband's job changed. So we had to move to Erie. I had four boys. Lucas was a junior. Laban was an eighth grader. Levi was in sixth grade. And Lamech was in fourth. And they were angry. They didn't want to move out of Cory, but we had to. And I didn't work outside the home, so we moved. And
what year was this?
1991.
Okay, 91.
Okay, and it was not a good time for the boys. Lucas was a junior in high school when we finally sold our house and moved.
Yeah.
It took us 2.5 years in Cory to sell our house and got to Erie, and Lucas was playing basketball, had just finished a football season. They were in the finals, state finals or state semifinals, and when he was done, we said, we leave. And he goes, oh, I got to play basketball. And it's like, Lucas, you'll have to play at Erie. No, I'm not playing in Erie. I'm going to live with my grandparents. It's like, no, you're not. You're staying with us. And so we had people call us from Fairview and Mill Creek. And we found a house in Mill Creek. It took us a while. And praise the Lord, it was across from the high school. And that meant the boys could walk across the street to the high school. Lucas was a junior. And
was Pete Flynn the coach then?
Pete Flynn was the coach. I love Pete Flynn. And he was wonderful to Lucas.
Yeah.
And he came from Cory, and Cory had Dick Fox, who was the coach at Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick came to our house for 2 years. Do not move Lucas. Do not move Lucas. It's like, Dick, we have to go. If we get an opportunity to buy a house, we'll move. Well, we did, and we moved. And so the day that Lucas was trying out for the basketball team was the day he took himself to Mill Creek and signed in by himself. No mom, no dad, just him. Lived with my brother for probably 3 or 4 months till we could close on the house and he could practice. Laban came up too, and then we were off and running. We bought the house on Vista Drive across from the high school, and I worked in a dental office, and then I decided I wanted to do something else. So I quit and got my real estate license, and Lucas was in Geneva College, and then the boy, Laban, was at UConn, University of Connecticut, and the other two were still in high school. And that's the story of my career up to that point. Before that, people always ask me, how'd you get the name Marsha Marsh? And in fourth grade, we moved to Corey, and I was in church and sat behind in front of a kid, and his name was Greg Marsh. And all the kids said, hey, you should marry Marsha Marsh. And you'd make her, you know, Marsha Hammerly, and you'd make her Marsha Marsh. And Greg, no. And then they said to me, you should marry Greg Marsh. Your name would be Marsha Marsh. Well, we didn't like each other, but we tolerated each other. Then after college, then we dated, and then we got married. And I'm Marsha Marsh. So, good name, don't you think?
It's got a ring to it, for sure.
It's got a ring to it. So I worked at Coldwell Banker for a while, Prudential, and then we decided to go open our own.
Yeah.
Marsha Marsh Real Estate Service.
Well, I can't wait to get into some of those details. You and I had a chance to speak a little bit about kind of the format, where we do a little bit of a mutual interview. So sure. I'm going to have, because I want to spend most of the time asking you questions. So we'll start by having you ask me the six questions. Start with three business, then three personal.
Okay.
I always tell all my guests, too, that you do get one veto. I have yet, I think this is episode like 33 or 34. I've yet to have one person veto one of the questions. So no pressure.
Good.
Okay.
No pressure. Fire away. Okay. Well, I know many clients who have had knee and hip replacement, but what is the best way to take care of yourself to avoid replacement surgery?
Well, I can't tell you that, because then you won't, you'll take away my business. No,
I thought of that.
So I don't really think that there's a great way to avoid it. I think it's a lot of times it's inevitable. It's mainly familial and genetic. We do see people that have had injuries, like they had maybe an ACL tear or something like that, and they end up developing arthritis down the road. But I think some of the things to help you tolerate existing arthritis, it's like saying you want to drive a car, and but you never want the tires to wear out. You never want the brake pads to wear out. Yeah. Well, if you drive the car, things are going to wear out. Right. Same thing. If you have the body, things are going to wear out with time. So I think the best way or the best message would be to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Be active, maintain a healthy weight, make sure that you're nutritionally taken care of, that you're eating good, healthy foods. And I truly believe in staying active. Like a lot of people think, oh, you shouldn't be a runner because that's going to beat your joints up. But I have a guy from Meadville. He was the volleyball coach there when I played high school at Maplewood, Tom Hayden. And he came to see me for his knees. Tom has the most beautiful knees on an x-ray that I've ever seen. And he is an avid, avid marathoner. He's actually run, he's calculated, this is several years ago, so it's probably more than this now, but he was so meticulous with his calculations of his miles that he's run his entire life. He's run over 3 times around the world. That's how many miles he's run. And his knees have zero arthritis in it whatsoever. So I do think a lot of it is genetics, but Tom was lived a very healthy lifestyle, maintained a healthy weight, was always very active. So I think, and if you do have arthritis, maybe running or things like that may aggravate it. So trying to get into something more like cycling or swimming where you aren't pounding on the joints is probably a good, healthy alternative option.
My dad used to say, when he, as he got older, I wish I'd taken better care of myself. I would have, you know, as you get older, you don't think about it when you're young. It's like, hey, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Then as you get older, it's like, I wish I would
start to realize your limitations.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What do you like most about your profession?
I think easily it's helping people, yeah. Right? I always wanted to be able to give back. And when I moved, I was in practice in Detroit for about 5 years before moving back home here and setting up base in Meadville. And coming back, even though I was doing the same cases, it was the people that I was doing that on really was a lot more rewarding because it was people that helped to shape me and helped to influence me. I've done my high school French teacher. I've done people from my church, you know, lots of local community members and family friends, things like that. I love working with my hands. I've always been very talented with my hands, artistically, athletically. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity for me to kind of use, I think, the skills that God gave me to use my brain and to solve challenges, but at the same time, being able to help people. So it's, you know, my guidance counselor in high school was always like, Ryan, you need to go to art school. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. And I said, I think I want to maybe look into medicine. He's like, I don't think I would do that. And he was trying to discourage me from that. But I truly believe what I do every day is still very much art. There's a lot of science, obviously, sure. But the craftsmanship, the details of working with a hip or a knee replacement, it's right. and you've seen kind of the basement here, a lot of the woodworking stuff that I've done, it's very similar. Similar tools, right. Similar concepts.
Well, it's a passion.
It is.
That you have.
And absolutely.
And you use it in the ways that are most important. And I know a lot of people that have had knee and hip replacements because they've worked with us. Yeah. And then I'll say, well, who did your... And then, Dr. Molly. And so it's like, yes, I know Dr. Molly. So, but to watch them in pain and then to see them in no pain.
Yeah.
Is huge.
It is. That's the most gratifying part to me is like
right. When
they come back in at usually the 6 week mark and they give you a big hug and they say,
right.
I haven't been this active or I haven't felt this good in, you know, 5 years.
Right.
And they're able to play with their grandkids. They're able to go out to dinner with their spouse. They're able to go out and garden. They're able to get active again and go down to the peninsula, go for a walk, things like that.
Definitely. Yeah. So. I agree. Okay. When did you decide orthopedics was your passion?
Yeah, it was a bit of, it wasn't a direct route, I would say. I originally was planning to go to chiropractic school. So when I was at Mercyhurst, I was a dual major, sports med, pre-med. I was an athletic training major with a minor in pre-medicine. Fortunately, the classes that I was taking to get into chiropractic school were pre-med classes. So there was a couple that I had to add, like some organic chemistry classes, things like that. Yeah. But it was late in the ball game. It was my junior year, was literally on my way to Chicago for my chiropractic school. Not even really interview. It was just like my orientation. And one of my best friends and roommates, Greg Beato, who is a physician now, he's actually the head team physician for Virginia Tech's men basketball team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a great guy. He was an athletic trainer with me at Mercyhurst. He's from upstate New York, Rochester, New York.
And he's still there at VTech?
He's at VTech. He did his fellowship there, and he's been there for...
You need to talk to Laban and Megan,
because many,
their
many
parents
years.
Went there, and her dad is in the Hall of Fame for VTech.
Oh.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah,
small world.
It is a small world.
So, yeah, he's been there for, 15, going on 20 years now. But he was coming with me. It was spring break. Mm-hmm. And he said, do you mind if we stop in East Lansing, Michigan? There's an osteopathic medical school there. I said, I don't care. It'd be fine. And he said, there's a physician there that I'd like to meet, to learn more about the medical school and osteopathic medicine. It's a name that you probably have heard of, Dr. Gregory Coppola.
Oh yeah.
He was doing his fellowship up there at the time at Michigan State. So we stopped. I had never met this Dr. Coppola. We hit it off really, really well. Right. And Greg Beato, my buddy, was like, yeah, he introduced me to him. And Greg Coppola and I, we stayed in touch. And he literally said to me, he's like, why do you want to go to chiropractic school? I feel like you could be limiting your skill set and this and that. And I said, well, what else should I do? And he said, what about osteopathic medical school? And I said, I don't know anything about that. I know my buddy Greg's going into that, but I really don't know much about that. I think this is the route. And then when he really told me what osteopathic medicine was and what I could do, I was like, that sounds good. Then I realized, I was like, okay, I want to be Greg Coppola. I want to be a primary care sports mm-hmm. medicine doc, non-operative. So that was my plan. That was my goals. I got into LECOM, and you know, the first couple of years, you're learning all the basic sciences and things. And then your third and fourth year, you go out and you do your clinical rotations. And again, I had my mindset, I was going to do primary care sports medicine. And we had to do a surgical rotation. So I went in, I was like, well, might as well do orthopedics. It's musculoskeletal. I really love the musculoskeletal system. As an athletic trainer, I was very well-versed and I knew all the anatomy and things like that. So, got into an orthopedic OR, and the first case I saw was a hip replacement. And I'd done construction, you know, through high school in the summer. Both of my grandfathers were carpenters. One was a finished carpenter. One was kind of he could do anything, plumbing, electrical, basic, construction. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And then I had to come back and tell Dr. Coppola, I felt like I was letting him down, because I said, I don't want to be a primary care sports med doc. I want to be an orthopedic surgeon. So that's how it came about.
That's
the light bulb went off.
Well, and you know, aren't you thankful for your friend that encouraged you? And you have good friends make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
For your boys.
Yeah.
And for, you know, for kids. I think the kids they hang out with and who they're with really help shape the boys as well.
There's a quote that I love. I can't remember exactly who told me this the first time, but you become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very careful and selective of who I spend my time mm-hmm. with, because being a dad of three and sure. a husband, you know, family first, but when I do get that time to be able to spend right. it with other people, I want to make sure that it's with good people that have good morals, good ethics, and they generally are very, very hardworking, successful people right. that I admire. And it gives you something to strive for me. It's right. motivational.
Right. I watch it with the grandkids and my own children and friends, and really does make a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, who you hang out with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. Okay, now next three.
Personal stuff?
Yeah. Okay. How did you meet your wife?
So we met on Match.com.
Okay.
So I was an intern up in Michigan, Metro Detroit area. And it was the first couple months of my internship. And I was extremely focused because orthopedics is very, very, very competitive. One of the hardest subspecialties to get into. So I knew that I had to work really hard. I needed to kind of prove myself. So I was absolutely dialed in that this is what I needed to do. So I didn't have a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to go out. I was like, where am I going to meet people, right? I'm brand new to this area. Right. A lot of people are going out to the bar and meeting people at bar. I was like, I'm not going to go out and meet someone at a bar. And quite honestly, I didn't have a lot of time. So I wasn't like, how do I find a person that I feel is compatible for me? And I've said this many times on this podcast. I am extremely, extremely fortunate, because I feel like 1% of the females my age that I could potentially date, I would be compatible with. Mm-hmm. Whereas my wife, she could be compatible with probably 95% of males her age, because yeah. she just has that personality where I'm challenging, I'm difficult. I know that, my wife knows that. So my buddy and I, we went out one night, and we were just talking about this, and he was married, had kids at the time. I said, how am I going to meet somebody? I don't want to do this. I don't want to go on 20 dates to find that one person that I can maybe go on a second date with. He's like, go on eHarmony or Match.com. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that's for crazy people. That's how people, you know, my parents, they're like, oh, the internet, this is, you know, 20 some years ago.
Right.
That's where people, they leave their husbands or their wives because they meet somebody on the internet. So I got on Match.com, didn't tell anybody from my family. And I only went on two dates. Both of the girls were Greek girls, believe it or not. And the first one was a one date flop. The second date was Karen. And that was it. We hit it off really well. I loved her family. I loved her from the get go. And
right.
We started slow, but the relationship built from there.
Well, you were friends first.
Yeah.
I think. And that really makes a huge, huge difference. No question.
Yeah. yeah. And it was able to weed out a lot of this stuff, because whether it's for you or not, like Match.com for me was an ability to look at filters, right? To be like, all right, what are the common interests, right? Yeah. So I didn't have to like,
right.
go on all those days to find out this right. person likes to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah. My husband taught young adults at First Alliance Church on Zimmerly Road.
Yeah.
When we first came up, he was young adult pastor and youth pastor because we had four boys and we were trying to keep them on the straight and narrow. And, you know, so, and that was a time in the 90s that a lot of people were going to Match.com or eHarmony. And a lot of our kids that really didn't want to go to the bars, although they would, but that's not where they wanted to really meet someone and
right.
spend time. They went on eHarmony and people were saying, that is ridiculous. It's like, no, it isn't. They became friends first and they're still friends. And we have someone at our house today that's got her three kids there and that's
how they met. Yeah.
Yes. And so they come back and then they visit with us years later. And I've been married 51 years. So, you know, friends first works.
Yeah. And it took a couple years for me to have the courage to then finally tell my parents how we met.
Well, now it's out.
It is. It's out there.
For public consumption.
Yeah.
Okay. I have watched you coach and observe basketball games. So is coaching fun for you?
It is and it isn't. It's like a double-edged sword for me because I am so ultra competitive, right, from when I played. So I really enjoy watching the boys develop and grow. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I think I enjoy the practices more than the games. The games to me are very stressful. And again, it's fourth and fifth grade that I was coached. And I coached younger than that too, but it was just like it's hard for me to because I want them to play hard. I want them to play focused. I want them to play well. And, you know, at that age, you got to get everybody in, right? And you want to be able to balance all of that and watch those less skilled players develop. And quite honestly, that was probably some of the biggest rewards for me was watching those kids at the beginning of the season. You're like, ooh, this is going to be a long season. And at the end, they were doing stuff that you were like, you never thought was possible, right? And they may never turn into an elite athlete, but just that development. So, you know, I've done some reflection. And I'm just like, I don't like the way that I feel going into the games. And I had Keith Neese on this, and we had this very deep conversation. A lot of it was offline about like why he stopped coaching, and it's like those sleepless nights and the heartache, and you lose sleep about the losses, and you forget all the wins. And Bill Hager, when he was on, same thing. He's like, man, you just never forget those losses. It's like me in my day job. I can do 100 joint replacements and 99 go great. One doesn't. And that's the one that I focus on. So it's just like, at this point, I think I'm a better father than I am a coach. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm done coaching, but like I do enjoy it. And I actually like the preparation more than the games. The games are fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's, my wife's like, well, you are intense. I'm like, am I? She's like, yeah.
We just talked about you because at one of the games when you won, you slid on your knees to the middle of the floor. And we were just laughing because my boys are intense. But you have to be.
Yeah.
To do things well, you really have to be intense.
Yeah,
passionate about what you're doing.
Passion, I think, is just as much as the intensity is there for sure. But it's just like, you feel so good for what those kids accomplish. But at the same time, when you have those heartache losses, it's just like pulls at you. So I can't imagine doing it for a profession because, I mean, that's just like whether it's high school, college, or professional, my gosh, the pressure that goes into coaching. And if you lose, and today's day and age too, it's like, you're out, right? There's no more loyalty of you. Right. You've been here. There's a couple organizations. I think the Steelers are an exception to that. But
UConn.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved Dan Hurley's move.
Oh, yeah.
He took a $20 million pay cut to stay.
Oh, they love him. They love him there. He is really
He's
super.
Very passionate.
Right.
I'm not. I was always a Carolina fan, but I'm a Dan Hurley fan. Yeah. I like watching him coach.
Really respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Okay, what is one regret you might have that you did not do growing up? Would you change anything?
The first thing that comes to my head is actually where my middle son is right now. He's at Camp Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I said to Tino, I said, Tino, you're, because he was excited to go, but a little nervous. I said, you know, this is the one thing that I wish I would have done when I was a kid. And I always wanted to. My parents never allowed me. Mm-hmm. My best friend, he always went to Camp Notre Dame for a week in the summer. And I was like, God, that would be so cool to just go to a summer camp, spend the night, go archery, you know, shoot a bow and arrow and go fishing and do this and do that. So I kind of wish I went to a ton of basketball camps growing up. I go to maybe five per summer.
Yeah.
The Ed Murrow one was overnight. But yeah, that would probably be kind of like my childhood. If I could do it over again, I would do something like that.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because I made the boys go to camp and I had to pick Levi up the first night. And Laban would never go back. He went to Miracle Mountain. They had to wear pants all day, and it was 80 degrees. And he said,
he was like, I'm out.
I'm out. And when he sees, I love Miracle Mountain, but when he sees Miracle Mountain go by or a truck go by when we're out and about, it's like,
Where's that camp at?
Miracle Mountain is in Spring Creek.
Okay.
It's a horse camp. They do all kinds. It's a Christian camp.
Yeah.
And it's, but Levi never liked to stay overnight. And he just, that was not him. Lucas didn't care, and neither does Lamech. He goes all the time. But, you know, he raised four boys, and they're all
different. Anthony went last year to Camp Notre Dame, and he came back. He's like, never again. So I was thinking Tino's got this bad, you know, memory of Anthony coming back last summer. I think he's going to like it, though. I'm excited to see how, because he gets picked up tomorrow.
Well, he hasn't called you yet.
No.
So you haven't had to pick him up.
Yeah,
I had to pick Levi up. I had to drive to Franklin. We went to Seneca Hills Bible conference down in, I'd go over the bridge and I'd just get homesick. I hated it. I always got homesick. I didn't like to stay overnight someplace else.
But, yeah.
You know, I tried not to push that off on the boys, but.
Yeah.
So, but.
Shall we turn the tables?
Sure.
So, professional stuff. You mentioned how you worked in a dental office mm-hmm. for several years and then you got your real estate license. Mm-hmm. You worked for, you said Caldwell,
mm-hmm.
And then another one, and then you decided.
I started a boutique company, which was Holland Metro,
okay.
A small company. They were bought out by Caldwell Banker. So then we automatically went to Caldwell Banker, which was a great culture for me because it was small, and then Caldwell Banker was big. And because I was blessed to be a good producer, then our broker would send us to coaching places. Like I went to Hawaii, I went to San Diego. And so I learned a completely different culture for real estate through Caldwell Banker. And then I worked hard and worked hard, and I just wasn't getting anywhere from a financial standpoint. We took a coaching meeting, and we were in San Francisco with, he wrote the E-Myth. I'll think of his name. And he said, Marcia, you're nuts. See that exit sign? And I said, yeah. He goes, this is what you're making. He said, you start your own company. And I said, well, I don't think we can. And he looked at Laban and he said, Laban's entrepreneurial. Levi is careful with his money. And you are a people person. He said, you got the great team for real estate.
So when did that start? What year?
That was in, well, we went to the coaching meeting probably in 2003 or 2004.
Okay.
I started in 1998. And then, so we came back, talked about it.
So you started, but myself. Not Marsha Marsh.
No, I started as just an independent contractor
with
Holland Metro. And then when I went to Caldwell Banker, Levi was a senior, didn't want to go to college.
Okay.
And so I said, Levi, put my signs up, do some gopher work for me. And he did. And then I said, let's get your license. And he didn't really want to, but he did. And he got his license, and he was off and running. We had a wonderful time.
So who do you kind of owe that? Well, you said Laban's more entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. right? Who gave you that courage to make that jump? Because being entrepreneurial and starting my own practice, like no one starts their own medical practice in today's world, or very few people, right? It's much more common to go into a hospital employee position, kind of a, not a 9-to-5, but like you leave work there. You don't have the business side of things. Who was it that kind of gave you that courage to make that leap of faith in the early 2000s to start Marsha Marsh?
I had a coach, and there weren't very many people in Erie real estate that were coaching. But from Caldwell Banker experience, I met Howard Brinton and some of the coaches that coach successful real estate agents in other market areas. Ours was a very small market compared to others. So when I met Howard and he came to Erie and met the boys and talked with the boys, they weren't coaching with him at the time. And then we all went with him. And then we went with Ken Goodfellow out of Canada. And so I worked with the boys together because by that time, Laban then was in Connecticut, graduated. His wife was in finance. And so Laban said, I'm going to get married. I don't think I want to be in New York City. And so Megan and I are thinking of coming home and I'll get into real estate with you. He was in with a roofing company that he did marketing and they just weren't treating him fairly. That's another story he'll tell you about. But he learned a lot, but he wasn't getting anywhere. So he said, I'm going to come home and sell real estate. So he did. And then Megan came with him, lived with us until they got married. And then he was had it licensed. Laban was licensed, Levi and myself. And then we coached. It was $1,250 a month to coach, which was at the time was huge money. Mm-hmm. But Ken was so good with us. We went to different meetings and he taught us a lot about.
You're saying you guys were coaching?
We were being coached.
Okay.
Okay. And then, so then he talked with us through it. And if we had an issue, and we did, we decided we were going to open our own place. And so he called me and said, Marcia, this is what you have to do. My mom had sold real estate in the 60s and I watched her cry and, you know, it was just awful. And she just didn't know how to deal with sales. And I didn't either. So that helped us and propelled us into moving into our own company. When I went to my broker and said, hey, I'm going to, if you don't change my compensation, I'm leaving. And he said, Marcia, first of all, you don't have any money. And second of all, you don't have any business skills. And I said, okay, that's all I needed for him to tell me that.
Yeah.
And I went home and the boy said, well, it was 7 o'clock at night. The boy said, well, what'd he say? I said, he said, you know, we'll come in tomorrow and talk about it. And maybe we can do something with the company. And the boy said, no, we're done. And that's when we quit and went into our own. We worked with a couple different people, making sure we were on the right track.
Did you have a non-compete or anything like that? Was that?
We didn't.
Okay.
We didn't. Now, sometimes they do.
Okay.
And then Megan went on to work with the brokerage that was in mortgages. And then she signed a non-compete and that was a negative. So none of us had ever signed a non-compete.
Right.
And we don't have agents sign at our office either. People always ask us that. It just wasn't friendly.
Yeah.
In fairness, I mean, we didn't have to sign one. And when we left and we were all friends. And there's, you know, 3,000 friendly people around here. We just didn't think that was good.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the impetus for us to move. And then from a bold standpoint, I tell the story because when Laban went to Connecticut and the coaches came down and sat in our living room and said, Laban's, you know, he really wanted to go play football Division I. And so it was a guy from Butler and Nick Rapone was from down and was a coach. And he said, told him all the things you were going to do for him, blah, blah, blah. And you know, we were excited because the coach was Skip Holtz from Notre Dame. His dad was Lou Holtz.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome. And we loved them both. And we still do. But when he came and sat with Laban and then Laban left for Connecticut in August and he called home and he goes, hey, Mom, remember what Nick and the guys told us sitting on the couch? And I said, yeah. He said, well, they said, forget all that. You're ours now. We can do whatever. And that's kind of what we thought of with the non-compete. Everybody's trying to get you to come with them. Come on, I'll give you more money. Come on, I'll give you leads. Come on, I'll give you this. And you know what? You do your own thing.
Yeah.
So all that, if that's what you want, don't come to my company because, you know, you'll have to motivate yourself. We'll help you. I'll mentor you. I'll take you to lunch, introduce you to people. But if you want to work hard, you're going to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's what we learned. And the boys and I, through sports, truthfully, the boys, I have watched them develop through the years in many, many things. And those are the things that we learned, you know, through ups and downs from a sports perspective.
Yeah. Sports teaches you so much.
It really does.
We were talking about this upstairs with Karen before we came down here, but there's so many really amazing life lessons. And I do believe, you know, when you were asking me about coaching, like you learn as much, if not more, from the losses. They're heartaches.
Yeah. Well, and I watched when we came up with Lucas, and Lucas is an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he would not tell you, he doesn't talk about it, but he's in several Hall of Fames, and they retired his number at Geneva, and we're very proud of the man he is and the father and everything. But then we had Laban, and Laban did the same thing, and then we had Levi, and they're all great people, but Levi just didn't like to practice. And now if you look at him, you can't believe he didn't play basketball in high school, but he didn't want the malarkey. He just wanted to play and have a good time. Like you said to me, I really liked the practices more than the game. Well, Levi liked the game, but didn't want to practice. So one of the coaches said, hey, you're not as good as your two brothers. And he heard that all the time. And he came in before he started in October that year, and he sat in the steps as we go upstairs. I love you, Levi, but he said, I'm not playing. And his dad said, then you're not starting. You either don't start or you go through the whole season. And Levi said, no, I'm not going to play. And he loved the game. So we said, well, you're going to do something. So he went over to the swimming pool at McDowell and got his lifeguard certificate.
Okay.
And he coached. And the girls loved him at the pool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did things himself. He wasn't Lucas. He wasn't Laban. He was Levi.
Yeah.
He still is. And so then we had Lamech. And Lamech had had a baby shot, had a serious seizure disorder from the baby shot. That's another big story. And honestly, he was healed, and he wouldn't know it now, but it was a terrible time. So he really didn't get into sports like the other boys as much. But now he golfs and he plays basketball, and he's happy and healthy. It's not a big deal. But he didn't go at it like they did.
Yeah.
And he's really passionate about what he does in ministry for for church and for the Lord. So, and it's where he should be. So loves basketball, loves baseball. His two kids play. His wife is very supportive.
Yeah, I love watching Noah play. He's a smooth little player.
Oh, no. And he's very easygoing. Yeah. Even Steven, he doesn't get real jacked up, you know, but he is in his body, but you don't see it outside.
Yeah.
You know, composed. Very cool cat.
Yeah.
We tell him. But so that's kind of where I came from to start the company. And then since we were Marsha Marsh team, then we went right into Marsha Marsh Real Estate. And that's why I tease the boys. But when I'm an owner, but I'm not a broker. The two boys are brokers. So they really are the ones that make the policies and the procedures. But if I disagree, I just say, my name's on the side. And they say, Mother, it does not matter. You are not a broker. But they allow me to think that I run the show. But
yeah.
I really do not.
That's awesome, though. So you asked me kind of like what my favorite part of my job was. So what is your favorite part of your job? Because you have probably sold thousands of homes to families and have created many, many memories in those homes that you've sold. So what is it for you?
Well, when we did coaching, they told us there were two, you're either transactional or you're relational. I'm relational. I love building relationships with people. I'm a straight shooter. So I'm honest and above board, and I cry a lot. So I've been at closings when I put my head in my hands and start crying and have to apologize for being unprofessional. But when they cheat me, I can't stand it. You know, I mean, it's hurtful to me.
Yeah.
And so, and this doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen because people are people, and they don't know they're hurting you. And so there have been times when it's been very difficult, but mostly the people that I have met and worked with and the people that send you a note or send you flowers or just see you somewhere or recommend you to someone else, even for you, you know, when people talk to me and, who you know, oh, I got to get this hip replacer, then, well, talk to Dr. Molly, call me. And my mom was going to have her knee replaced, and then she got sick and she didn't. She was at Westbury. Mm. But when you have someone refer you because you've served them well, that's the most important.
That to me, when people say, like, oh, you know, I'll ask them, like, how do you hear about me? They're coming from 3 hours away. Yeah. And they say, you did our neighbor, you did this person. And that to me is the most rewarding, like, referral, right, is word of mouth. Right. It's like my parents always told me that too, is like, you take really good care of people, the rest will take care of itself. And if you just do the right thing, put your heart and soul into it, don't focus on the rewards, right? Don't focus on the making money or this or that. Do your job, do it better than anyone else, and take really good care of people, and the rest will fall into place. And I know that you do that. And do you remember driving Karen and I around?
Mm-hmm.
So this was 2009. I was in my last year of residency. We knew we were going to Columbus for a year for fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And family was so, so important to me, and as it was to Karen. And we only looked at two different places for practices. We looked at Erie, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and we looked at Michigan, because we either wanted to be close to my family or hers for grandparents and all that kind of stuff. And I remember getting in your car and driving around. We drove past this house. You drove us past this house, which was built just a year before that, and through this neighborhood. And we ultimately decided to go to Michigan. We were there for 5 years, and fate brought us back here. But you have a great reputation. Your family does as well. And you put your heart and your soul into what you do. And the fact that you said you're honest, you're fair, it's very obvious to me. It's very genuine and transparent to me.
And, you know, we grew up with really nothing. When the boys, all the kids are going to basketball camps and spending all kinds of money and travel teams. And the boy said, why didn't we ever do that? It's like, we had no money. I mean, we wouldn't have had, I didn't work outside the home. And Greg was a engineer at Cooper Energy Services. And we didn't have a lot of money. We were happy as clams, but we didn't have a lot of money. And it was fine. You know, we sent Lucas to Edinburgh camp, and then we met Jim McDonald, because he went to our church when we came up here to Erie. And Jim would take Lucas and the boys over to Edinburgh, and he'd teach them to shoot on Sunday afternoon, because we came from Corey to Erie because we hadn't sold our house. And so we developed a very strong friendship with the McDonalds.
Yeah.
And Lucas loved basketball. Laban loved it. And Levi and Lamech, they all love it. But I think the main thing was, from a family perspective, you know, we just wanted to help each other. And that's what we tell the boys too, the little ones, that, you know, grandkids, when they're at my house and I hear them say, well, you suck, or you, it's like, stop. This is a safe zone. We don't talk to each other like that. We encourage each other.
Yeah.
And I hope you're better than you, and you get better than you. And so we try to do the same thing in our business with the agents. It's difficult when you work with people and they have all different kinds of personalities. I just told an agent on my way in, when she called me and she was just angry, and I said, you can't let them see you sweat. You can be so angry, but you can't let them see you sweat.
Yeah.
You have to just be calm, cool, and collected. Now I come home and my husband, sometimes he'll say, you're going to go get, you know, Creamland with me. And I said, sure. He goes, leave the phone at home. It's like, I can't leave the phone at home. Marsha, then drive yourself to Creamland. Leave the phone at home. Because I want to answer the phone. I want to talk to people. I want to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
And I think when people tell me, like you, you know, that, well, my parents live in Michigan, but I really want to come here. It's like, okay, you have three children. What are you going to do? No, I didn't do that with you. But when people talk to me, they said, well, I don't really think we want to live by my family. It's like, okay, well, I have 12 grandkids. I help take care of my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of what we do as a family when they need to run here, there, everywhere. They want to sleep overnight, and we have, you know, kids sleeping overnight all the time.
I've seen you at so many different games, right? Whether it was MIAA games or the McDowell thing or travel, whatever it may be. So,
and people say, you don't have a life. It's like, you know, I don't go on vacation. We have. We've been to Aruba. The kids sent us for our 40th anniversary. We've been to Hawaii. We've been lots of places. We've been there, done that. But honestly, the most important thing for us is being at the games and being with them, hugging them, telling them good job.
Yeah.
And that's what encourages them. Now they have girlfriends and they come to our house and they stay at our house and have pizza and they'll say, you want to go to my grandpa's and grandpa's? That's a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are 15, 16. They want to go to their grandparents.
That's awesome. I hope when, you know, I have grandkids someday that my kids and grandkids want to come to our house.
Well, when we lived on Vista Drive, and we used to always bring the kids in for basketball and football before they played, Laban's team and Lucas's team as a basketball player, we'd feed them at our house. And then as we got more grandchildren, my parents were alive and Greg's parents were still alive, we had Sunday night dinner. And so every Sunday night, my parents and Greg's parents would come from Corey or Finley Lake. That's where my parents lived. And we'd just have food every Sunday night. We'd all have a good time. Sometimes the boys would play cards or basketball or, you know, ping pong or whatever. And so we moved up to Summit, and we still do the same thing. Every Sunday night, we all come.
Get the whole crew together?
Mm-hmm. And then they bring friends. Now we have a pool, and so they'll swim in the pool. They play ping pong in the basement. Pretty noisy. They play cards upstairs, and they're, you know, screaming and yelling at each other. But it's a good camaraderie that we've built, you know, as a family. Do we all agree? No. I mean, I've sat at the kitchen table talking about the ways we're doing business or what we're going to do or not going to do. And when we wanted to buy a business out on the east side, nobody wanted to do it, but Laban really wanted it. And so we talked and talked, and Levi yelled at Laban. Laban yelled at Lucas. Lucas yelled at I was crying. And Greg said, okay, we've discussed this. Now, we're going to pray, and then we're going to discuss and dismiss. And so he prayed, and then we all got up, hugged each other, and we said, you know, we'll move forward with it. And by the, you know, east side office. Levi wasn't on board as much as the other boys, but he agreed to disagree, but we'd move forward. And we did, and it was a good purchase. And we hired a guy that owned the practice, and Bob's still with us, and he wanted to retire. So it helped Bob. It helped us. It helped us get our name over in the east side. And Erie Bank had just put their bank over there. And so Donnie Damon and some of the guys talked with Levi and us. Yeah. And Donnie said, just do it. It's a good move. And then the pandemic hit. And then it slowed down. And then they didn't do the intermodal project in Harbor Creek. And I think that slowed down the market there. And then Wabtec was going to, you know, so the east side office for us didn't work. We opened one in Corey. We opened one in Mill Creek, and we have the one we originally opened in Summit.
Yeah. So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've seen since you guys started your own business?
I think the mortgage environment has been challenging. Megan is an auditor by trade, Laban's wife. So she came into the business, started worked with the mortgage company at Coldwell Banker, and then was fired. That's another story she tells when she coaches and does things. So, but that, you know, everything that's happened when I quit the dentist office and different things, it all happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
Without question. So when people come to us through the church and young professionals that we worked with, and they be crying about things, it's like, listen, relax, blow out a candle, and just work through it. Because you'll look back and say, that's the best thing that could ever happen.
Those blessings in disguise, right? You know, I've been from practice to practice, from Michigan to Meadville, left that practice to ultimately do what you did, start my own, sure. Which was a big leap of faith, right. But I knew in my heart, like, it wasn't going to fail because I wasn't going to let it fail. Failure right. wasn't an option, right. But that autonomy, that independence that you yep. have, and you're going to have your highs, you're going to have your lows. And another sports thing, I remember as a Detroit Tiger fan, when I was living there, Justin Verlander, pitcher for the Tigers at the time, used to say, I never get too high, I never get too low, right? Just yep. try to be even yep. Steven. So yep. when you're playing really well and you're winning the Cy Young Award one year, or you're losing the World Series the next year, you take it all in stride.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think the boys are golfers, and Scottie Scheffler, I think his name is, and you listen to him, and same thing.
Yeah.
It's, you have to be passionate and intense about things. There's no question. But it has really, basketball, when you talk to Lucas or Laban or Levi, but mostly Laban and Lucas have lived other areas. Levi has only lived in Erie, mm-hmm. not a negative. So he knows Erie very well. But the other boys have lived other places. The people that Lucas and Laban know through their sports, you know, participation in Connecticut and it all over. I mean, if you wanted to go to a game at Connecticut or watch, Laban would call the athletic director or call Dan Hurley or call people that he knows, because he was a pole vaulter there and also played football. Mm-hmm. Lucas, when O'Connor told us who was playing in the Marshall Marsh tournament in December, it's a guy that Lucas went to Geneva with, and then another guy that, you know, he had played basketball with too. And he was so excited that Pete was coming up to coach the team that's playing against, you know, the teams.
Yeah.
But he would never have known that had he not gone, you know. And everybody said, oh, you don't want to go to Geneva. It's just a, you know, it's just not a big enough school. But Lucas played from his freshman year to his senior year.
It was the right school for him.
He never missed a game. He started every game.
Wow.
He got so many accolades, and he did such a great job. My parents and I, you talked to me about shoes, so I got shoes from him. Don't look. And he said,
I kind of took a sneak peek.
And really. He said, Mother, I'm going to give you these shoes, when he knew I was coming. And I said, okay. And we missed one or two games the whole 4 years.
Wow.
My dad and I drove in snowstorms from Erie to Geneva to Bethany to wherever. And Luke and Greg did too, but Greg taught young adult Bible study on Wednesday night for the church. So lots of times if it was a game on Wednesday, he couldn't go. So my dad would go, and he was in his 80s.
Wow.
It was the best time we ever had.
Yeah, a lot of time things. In the car, and you guys probably talked a lot.
And my dad was wacky. And Bill Hager knew my dad because he was from Franklin. But they used to have to pull him off the ropes, because when they would call a bad call on Lucas, which wasn't very often, but my dad would just erupt.
Lose it.
He'd lose it. And people now, when Bill Hall came up to be superintendent, to be assistant at McDowell, I was driving around with him. We went through Oak Hill, and he saw a sign that was Marshall Marsh in Lucas's garage. And so he said, hey, pull over here. You know, I didn't know who Bill Hall was. And
right.
And so Lucas walked down, and I said, Lucas, this is Bill Hall. And Bill Hall looked, and he goes, you're Lucas Marsh? And he said, yeah. Oh, you're Mr. Hall. You're a referee. And Bill said, yeah, is this house for sale? And Lucas said, no, I work with my mother at Marshall Marsh. But Bill Hall and Lucas were best friends. I mean, when he came here.
Yeah.
And then he met him, and Lucas knew him and he goes, is your dad still alive? To me, he said, I remember he would just erupt in the stands when Westminster played Geneva. You know, so those were really good relationships that you built that were solid. So when I get a referral from someone, or they're working with me, if they aren't happy with my service, then I want to know. In fact, I send them a note and say, I haven't heard from you.
Yeah.
And what happened? And sometimes they'll say, well, this is what happened. And I can try to say, well, I'd like to say that wasn't my fault, but you don't.
You
just say, I apologize. If I can do something to make it right, I will. You know, but, and lots of times people say, you're not going to make any money. And I said, okay, well, I won't miss a meal if I don't get paid. So what can we do? You know, it's just, you just have to roll with it. And
yeah.
And I Greg and I, My husband is very supportive. He's been wonderful.
Has he ever been involved in the actual real estate piece?
24/7. He got his license, and but he mostly likes to do other things. He likes to put our signs up. He takes all of our pictures.
Photography. I wanted to ask you about that, right? So I see him at all events, right? And I see stuff that Karen will show me on Facebook. Like he's very talented. Is that his passion? Or one of his passions?
Some, he likes trains. He has a train set up that if your boys like trains, you bring them to my house and people come from all over to
in the basement see his or train. Something
nope.
like that?
Oh, no. He put it in our dining room.
Oh, wow.
So you come into our house and it's right there as you come in. But they love it. And Greg loves it. And, you know, I came down one day to doing my taxes and I said, hey, Greg, you spend a lot of money on these trains. When I looked down from our Quicken to see how much money we'd spent, and Greg's down with the trains, he looked up and he said, hey, Marcia, I don't smoke, drink, gamble, or play golf. This is a hobby. And then he put his head back down. And it was like,
you said,
okay,
fair enough.
No, I said, you know what? Don't say another thing. I understand. But that's the kind of relationship we've had for 51 years. And
congrats.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thank you. We grew up together. His parents and my parents were friends at the church. And then we just have continued to, have good times, not bad times. We've had a lot of money. We've had no money. Doesn't matter. We're not taking it with us. So, you know, I saw a thing on Facebook that showed a girl that she had a paintbrush and she was painting like the floor, like cleaning the floor. And it said, my husband said that, you know, if I don't quit spending online, you know, that it, get done with that and quit spending online, he's going to divorce me or something. And she said, okay. And she kept doing it because, like, I don't care. And Greg, he doesn't care what we do, what we spend, what we don't have, what we do have. We enjoy each other. We enjoy the kids. That's our focal point of our life, honestly, is seeing them enjoy life and be good Christian people and service others. And, you know, my name is important. So if my name's on the sign for Marsh & Marsh Real Estate Services, we want to have integrity and you know, really good character that we present to the community. When I am on different committees, I was on the Chamber and Growth Partnership, and it was a very important position for me, and I really appreciated being there. But, you know, what we do as a real estate person, I tell people, you're important, others are important, a car salesman is important. But when I sell a house or a real estate agent does, they buy furniture, then they buy carpet, and then they buy paint. So it moves the economy.
Yeah.
And so in fairness, it
becomes a chain reaction.
It is. And so good or bad, it affects the whole community. So what we do, and this is what I try to tell people when I'm mentoring them as well, it's an important position. We influence the taxes. So if we're building houses, that increases the tax base. It's very, very important. Laban serves on the sewer authority in Summit Township. Levi served on committees, and we've all been involved in United Way and, you know, and other community service projects. The Heart Ball. We did the Heart Ball.
Who, you or Greg, or a combination, gave the athletic ability to your boys?
Greg.
Really?
Greg, when he was in ninth grade, his dad wanted him to play, to work at the pharmacy in Corey. It was a small pharmacy. They were friends of his, and they needed someone to, you know, take prescriptions around. And his dad wanted him to do it. And Greg was a phenomenal athlete. But because his dad wanted him to work, they didn't have much money. He went to work, and he never played. Wow. He was a good football player. He didn't play much basketball, but football, baseball, he was phenomenal. They still have the UDS team, and the guys are still, you know, talk to each other and are very good friends. So it was Mud, UD, Grud, Dud, and they were all baseball players. So, but he would have given them. I was a fast runner, but I was a cheerleader.
Okay.
And
so did you go to Franklin High School?
No, we moved to Corey, and we went to Corey High School. Okay. So Greg and I both graduated from Corey.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then all the boys graduated from McDowell. They all moved up.
So what is a fun, like, family tradition for the Marsh family each year? Do you guys do something? I know you talked about your Sunday dinners and things like that, but do you guys do a family vacation each year? Do you guys have a big party each year? Is there anything special that you guys do with everybody, the four boys and all the grandkids?
No, and that's one thing I would probably like to do, but because we meet every Sunday night and the girls and the guys are always compliant and the kids are always compliant, when there's a holiday, you know, 4th of July, or we don't really, not require, but we don't really expect the kids to be with us because they're with their wives and their families.
And they're with you guys on almost every Sunday. Yeah.
And so, I mean, Christmas, we always have Christmas the 26th. From a vacation perspective, Levi goes with his family. Lucas goes to OBX with his family. Laban goes to, we have a timeshare in Aruba. They love to go down there, the kids. We haven't all done a vacation together since Mackenzie was probably a year old, and she's the second grandchild, and she's now 16. We've done it, but I don't see any way that we could ever do it and leave the business, because we are all at the business, and we all have a part to play in it.
Right.
So that would be difficult. And people say, don't you want to go on vacation? It's like, yeah, I go to vacations when I go to ball games, and when I go, that's vacation to me, because lots of times we go over and stay overnight.
So with your grandkids, what's your favorite sport to watch?
It would be basketball. I loved football when I watched Laban and I watched the kids play, and Landon played and Lucas played, but it's cold, it's rainy, it's, you know, with basketball, it's
pretty controlled environment.
Warm. They let me take my own chair. I tore my Achilles a couple years ago and had to have had surgery. And he said, well, it'll take a while to heal it. And it's like, as I got older, I'm diabetic. It doesn't heal like it.
Sure.
I mean, I'm fine, but I don't run after the kids like I used to. I just have to yell at them, take a wooden spoon if I need to. But you know those days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so we don't do anything specific like that, except for, a few times during the year that when my parents owned Finley Lake, and the boys would like to have a place at Finley Lake to go to, because they like to water ski and things that, you know, they do it when they go on vacation, but
sure,
we don't do it
regularly.
No, my brother now moved up around the corner from us. So when his kids come, we get together and they come to our house. We have a pool.
Yeah.
And it's fun. You know? So there's no specific time that we could. Alexis leaves for college in August, and she's our first one to leave. And she graduated this year. She's going to Stevenson for golf.
Very nice.
That was kind of a struggle where she would go. And I quietly prayed about it, because I'm very vocal and opinionated. So I tried to keep my mouth shut, and I did. But and then my youngest, Laban's youngest, Laban has the youngest, and Michaela is 5. She'll be 6 next week. And we went to her graduation for preschool. And we were sitting there at graduation, and I started crying. And Lucas said, Mother, what are you crying about? And I said, when she graduates like Alexis, I'll be almost 90. You know. And Lucas goes, don't worry, we'll drive you to the graduation. It's like, that's not it. It's just time passes so quickly.
It does.
Ryan, and this is what I tell people, do not fight and argue, enjoy life. We can all disagree we agree to disagree, and in the family we do. But we have fun, and we aren't angry or mad at each other. We just all do a different thing and can still get along.
Yeah, our baby's 9, and it's just, you look back and you see, you know how your phone will give you memories from 3 years ago or this or that. And I'm looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, Luca's 9, right? He's, you know, and same thing, they all play sports, travel, baseball, this, that. And it's fun to go watch them play, but you're like, man, next year Luca will be out of the coach pitch. And that's great. You like to see him grow and develop, but there's that little bit of sadness because the youth is leaving. But, you know, and then eventually they're going to be having kids and I'll be in a position like right. you where I'm the grandfather going to the games and watching yep. the grandkids. And yep. not that I wish life away, because I don't. I'm enjoying every moment as I can. But and that's one of the reasons that I coach too. It's just like my job is so, it consumes yes. so much yes. of me.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity for me to kind of like spend right. time with the boys too.
Right.
So, but
yeah, when people ask me if, you know, when I go, don't I do anything for fun? Well, that is fun for me. And, you know, sometimes I'm 72. And so sometimes they'll say, when are you going to retire? And it's like, well, I'm not. And they'll say, no, seriously, what is retirement?
Yeah.
Because I do what I want to do now, you know, and so if I needed something done, like I have to meet Lucas's people at 6:30 because he's golfing, and he'll say, can you meet these people? And yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I'm still vital. I still need to be active. And I think I'm better than most in the market. Not that I'm better than everybody. It's just that I've been doing this 26 years. So I think I have still more to give.
Yeah.
So I, you know, as you
and you
got to
keep going, right?
Yeah.
As we talked about earlier, you said, how do you prevent hip or knee? I said, I don't know if it's preventing it, but it's just like correct. Maintaining what you have. And you see these people, it's so sad. They work their entire life and right. then they decide to retire and then they die like right. a year or so later. It's like, because they have nothing else. So for me, people always ask, like, I'm not going to do what I do, my day job forever, because right. it's so demanding. It's right. not possible, but I'll probably always be doing something. Business-wise, I just enjoy helping people. I love creating things. And
well, isn't it fun to meet new doctors that come in with the fresh things that you had too? Not that you don't now, but
and
you can watch them develop and help them because you're helping people. And, you know, somebody might not use you. They may use someone else, and that's fine. You know, but I think the most important thing is we just have to keep our attitude clear. I mean, that's one of the things when I get a bad attitude and Greg will say to me, you know, hey, cool your jets, what's with you? You know, because I do get a little bit grumpy or frustrated when I'm not a control freak, but I like to do it my way. And I think if I do it my way, it's the best way. And it is successful that way.
Yeah.
But it isn't always, Marcia. That's what Greg will say to me. Relax. Let him do whatever. You know, and when I see people fighting, you know, kids fighting and whatever, and the mothers are hovering over them different times, and I'll say, do you see blood? And they say, no, why? And I said, oh, I didn't let him go till you see blood. And they said, well, that's not good. It's like, well, I had four boys.
You need to go talk to Karen right now, because you had four. We have three, but man, there's still a lot of that bickering. And it's just like, Karen, she's like, do other kids fight this much? I'm like, Karen, boys will be boys.
Right.
And, you know, we're not going to let them kill each other. They're going to go at it. They're competitive. And, oh, you know, man, it's every day they're out in the backyard playing and someone comes in and, it's like, but boys. I'd rather them be doing that than on their iPads and
too.
The electronics.
Laban has a scar on the back of his head where in the house in Corey we had, it was Greg's grandfather's house that he'd never finished, so we did. And he threw a helmet at him. Lucas threw a helmet at him, hit him in the back of the head, and it drew blood, but he was fine. But he still has it where Lucas
does he use it like as a...
No, but you know, and now they just say, we didn't do those things. You just don't remember. They remember me running from the kitchen to the living room, screaming at them to stop. They just wouldn't stop fighting. And it's like, stop fighting. And then they said, we saw your face and we knew. Because the minute they looked at me and they saw the face that mothers give, we got to stop.
Yeah.
You know, so
enough's enough.
Enough's enough. You know, so it's just sad that we don't appreciate every day and every moment like we should, and we labor over the foolish things.
Yeah.
You know, and buying a house, having surgery like you do, buying a house is the biggest asset you have, most expensive purchase you ever make. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be, you know, thoughtful in what you're doing. And as an agent, I'm thoughtful. I want to make sure that it's exactly what they want. The problem with the market now for me is there are about 700 agents in Erie, and there are only about...
Wow.
When I was president of the board in 10, there were 300-some agents, and there were 1,300 listings. And now there are less, about 200 to 250 listings and 700 agents. And so, you know, it's very competitive. And when agents come in, they're new. Basically, you have to know people. And they'll say, well, can we get leads? Well, leads are from Zillow or from Realtor.com. Right. And they aren't necessarily a good lead because I want to make sure that they're, before I bring them to your house, they're approved to purchase. I'm just not going to bring them in and say, hey, let's look at this house. You know, can you afford $500,000? And, oh, yeah, I can. And then you find out, oh, they can't.
Yeah.
So there's some due diligence that you need to do beforehand. And you have to be discreet and you have to be kind, you know, because I have people that would really like to buy a $500,000 house. And 3 years ago, they could. The interest rate was 2.5. Boy, they could buy it. Well, now they come in. You know, I'm going to look now. I'm ready to buy. Okay, well, you're going to look for 300. It's like, why? It's like, because it's 7% interest.
Different world,
7% interest. And Megan's a loan officer. I mean, she owns her own mortgage company. So she helps us develop the mortgages and do things with them financially to help them because she's very, you know, much a bean counter.
Right.
And not a negative, just that. That's what she does with the money. Yeah. And so she's helped us a lot in the mortgage, you know, field as well so that we understand it. We work with Marquette and the others as well, but you have to understand that. So
work with John Doe. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I love John.
Oh, I love John. John, in fact, I was on the Federal Reserve Banking Board with John, and every time a question would come up about mortgages, I'd say, John Doe, and a couple of guys said to me, is he paying you to say this about Marquette?
Yeah, my business is done through Marquette. Yeah. They're great people there.
And honestly, they're a community bank.
They are.
And so they really want the community to move forward. And when the other banks aren't, and they are, you know, and I've been with PNC since I was in ninth grade.
I have a 45-year, I've just texted somebody the other day who just got a job at PNC. I said, I'm a proud owner or a proud member of PNC since the day I was born. 45 years I've had a PNC account. I don't put all my eggs in one basket.
No,
my personal
I don't
stuff is PNC. My business is all through Marquette. And
right.
So one of the little sessions you've got in your bag here, we do the Sawbone seventh inning, Sawbone shoe stretch. Okay. So I'm a huge shoe guy, have a massive Jordan shoe collection. What do you have for us?
Okay. Well, when I told the boys I was coming, and they said, oh, he does a shoe segment. And I said, yes, I know. And so Lucas has a very expensive pair of shoes, I guess. I don't know. Landon buys them, and the boys all buy them and sell them, and I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But it's very much a thing. And so Lucas said, Mother, let me think about it, and I'll let you know. So then he said, here you go. Stop and get these. And I'll tell you what those are.
Yeah, I'll tell you what these are. These are the Jordan 11s. And did Lucas wear these?
Lucas wore these when he scored his 1,000th point at Geneva.
Wow.
And it was the only game Greg and I did not attend.
Are you serious?
Because Laban was in the finals, the state not finals, but the before finals. And so we went to his football game and missed Lucas's basketball game. And those were the shoes.
Did you know? You knew that he was probably going to score 1,000 that game too, didn't you?
You know, probably could, but you've got three boys. You got to do what you got to do. And I always felt bad that we missed it. But then we saw it in high school. We saw it, you know, and retired his jersey. We were there. But my mom, who was in her 90s, was there. So
I have these. They're a much newer version, but the same Jordan 11s. These are the originals here, though. These are awesome.
They are.
And he scored 1,000 at McDowell, too, didn't he?
Yes.
And he went there as a junior?
He did.
So he scored 1,000 points in 2 years.
And so I'm praying that Landon will, because he scored 100 points on varsity this year. And so I'm just...
I saw him at a couple games. He's got that lefty.
Lucas is... Landon is Lucas personified, you know.
Who is Landon Lucas's son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And he got the lefty thing from... Because I remember watching Lucas way back in the day.
Yep. And so he played when Fee came up. Levi was working with Fee.
With Jordan?
With Jordan.
Yeah.
And so they came up and he bought across the street from us. And so when Lucas was there, and now Levi, he knew Levi was Lucas's brother. We talked a bit and they came over. And Don Fee, who coached at Grove City.
I know Don very well. He coached at Maplewood.
Yeah,
he was Bill's assistant at Maplewood.
That's right. And so he coached there. He came over. He was so excited to see Lucas because he hadn't seen him for a while.
Yeah.
And then he came over and visited with us. And we wanted him to stay, you know.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew once he started, I knew he'd never stay very long.
I thought he had 2 or 3 years in him. Yeah. Yeah. I honestly thought that he would be there another couple years. And, you know, I'm a Mercer's guy, and I went to I think 11 or 12 Gannon games this year just because I knew Jordan when he was this tall.
Oh, yeah.
Because Don was the assistant at Maplewood. Bill was the head coach. And after the games, we would all go to Bill's house, which was right there by the high school.
Oh, yeah.
So we drive around the corner. It was on the way to our house, my parents' house. And we go there. And my best friend, Nathan, Bill Hager's oldest son, and Jordan Fee was there. Little Jordan.
Yep.
He had a little blonde bowl cut, I remember. And then when he came to Gannon, I was like, this is going to be interesting. And I had been reading about the system, the style of basketball that he was going to run. And, man, it was a fun style to watch last year.
Yeah, and, you know, when he talked with us, of course, the boys always say, Mother, don't talk too much. But he would talk with us about it. And I had worked with the Gannon, you know, Lucas and I had both brought some of the Gannon coaches in. So we knew Gannon, we knew McGurk, and you know, loved the program.
Is McGurk the
athletic
women?
Director.
Oh, okay.
She's the athletic director.
Who's the women's coach?
You know? Oh, that's... Right. Cleve Wright.
Yeah, Cleve.
And Cleve lives across the street from Levi.
Okay.
So he watches the boys play basketball and you know, Jordan would come and he'd come over and play with the boys lots of times and talk them through stuff. He wasn't there very much because he was playing but his dad would come over and watch and talk with us.
Yeah.
And you know, it was kinda that was Jordan. Jordan loved this. And so we'd be out all night. Greg painted a big, you know, hoop on our garage. I mean our floor in our driveway. People said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm putting a 3-point line on our driveway.
Yeah.
And Don would come over and say, good job. you know, and we just had a good time.
Yeah.
And Jordan was great with the boys. If he'd see him doing something, he'd tell him to do, you know, what to do to help him. He just was really, and yeah. Cleve is the same way with Levi, with the kids down below. You know, when they're at Oak Hill, Cleve he comes out and talks to the boys.
Sure.
And Levi really, you know, really enjoys Cleve too. Girls basketball, Lucas coached because Alexis played, but then she got injured a couple times and said, you know what, this isn't fun when she's injured. And so then she golfed and she enjoyed golf. And so now she's going to college on a golf scholarship.
And that's awesome.
She's done really well. Lucas will be great. Laban just took Mackenzie to pole vault track camp at Penn State. And so when Laban dropped her off, he was driving home and he called Lucas and he was crying. And Laban said, what's the matter? What, are you okay? He goes, Lucas goes, you know, what's the matter, Laban? He says, I just dropped Mackenzie off at Penn State camp. He said, I hope you're ready to drop Alexis off at Stevenson. Because he said, I just lost it when I got in the car. You know, because it... That's when life changes.
Yeah. And Karen and I were talking about that. We've still got some years left, but I think we're going to struggle when the boys start leaving the house because they're such an integral part of who we are and what we do. And I'm getting ready to go to a baseball game tonight for Anthony. And we've got 3 baseball tournaments this weekend. Santino's up here in Erie.
Yep.
Luca, our youngest, is in Sagertown. playing for travel. And then Anthony's in Pittsburgh playing. So we're going to have to play some zone defense this weekend. I'm going to Pittsburgh with Anthony. Karen's going to be between Erie and Sagertown. Yeah. So,
well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And that's a healthy relationship that you keep, you know, doing things. We go out to eat. We go to a hotel. We go lots of things that, you know, it's just a life. It's just a life thing.
I'm taking Anthony to a Pirates game Saturday night because they've got 11 o'clock and a 3 o'clock game. So they're early enough that we'll be able to go see. Hoping to see, do you know Paul Skeens, the pitcher?
I know of him, but I don't know.
Yeah, so our boys were talking, oh, Paul Skeens. And I'm hoping. He pitched in the All-Star game on Tuesday night. So according to the pitch schedule, there's a really good chance that he may pitch on Saturday, which would be really cool to watch. But I'm wearing the Jordan 4. These are called the Zen Masters. Anthony picked these out. I let my boys pick out what I wear. And he's like, oh, you haven't worn these ones yet, Dad. Wear those.
But isn't that fun?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have a picture of all four boys and Corey. We didn't have money. I didn't work outside the home. But I got Jordan sneakers, and all four of the boys had them. And we took a picture of them. They said, what is that about? I said, because I put them on my Penny's charge card because they all wanted them and I wanted to get them for school. They all had Jordans. That was the first time they did. Yeah. You know, I think they were $100 then.
They were expensive. I never had Jordans until I had a real job. I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
So now it's gotten a little out of control.
I hear the boys talk about them. It's like, why are you spending $400 on shoes? You won't wear them for very long. Oh, we'll sell them.
Yeah.
And then they sell them to a friend, and then...
Well, this is my train collection. This is my Greg train collection. So I don't gamble.
Right.
I don't do all these kinds of things. Yeah. I don't smoke.
Yeah.
So this is my train collection.
Well, and you know what? It's fine. Looks good, and you got to be stylish for your boys.
Well, that and just Jordan was my guy, right? So one of the huge role models. It's funny when you're a kid, you idolize these people, but to this day, I can say that I am a lot of who I am, like my competitive nature, just my work ethic, because I watched him and I watched how he prepared and read and watched movies. And they were just saying, like when he was at Carolina, the coaches there said he worked harder than and he was the most talented, but he also worked harder than any other player there. He was the first one there. He was the last guy to leave.
Yeah. So. And that's one of the things, like for Landon and for the boys. Landon is the oldest boy, grandson. And so he's done very well. Then Liam watches him. And then the other boys watch what's going on.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when we're, at night when they're staying over and we're talking through it, Liam just played with Landon up at the house, at Levi's house. And when he came, he said, oh, Landon is so good. He doesn't miss any shot. Just drives me nuts. And he didn't say that to be rude or mean. His point was, he just, and Greg said, you just have to keep practicing to get better. And he said, well, I'll never beat Landon. Just keep practicing to get better. And he doesn't resent Landon. He loves Landon. And they're very close because they live a couple doors from each other and they go back and forth. But it's just that Landon pushes Liam.
That's good.
And then they all push each other.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, in fact, Lincoln, Laban's son, is next to the youngest. He loves basketball, but he would not go. He went to camp at Barrand and stood out, and Laban had him on his lap. He just cried. He was not going in. And he didn't go in. And Laban was kind of frustrated. He called Greg, and Greg said, he'll be fine. And so then...
Yeah, how old is he?
He was 6 at the time.
Yeah.
And then... But, all the other boys just, hey, let's go. And it was no big deal. But not... He has a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
He likes to... He stays at our house every night. And if he's at home or somewhere else, he'll call me and I'll hear, Grandma. It's like, yeah, will you pray with me? Yes. He doesn't want to have any dreams. So we pray he doesn't have any dreams or any bad dreams.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit anxious. And so then this year... He went to basketball camp, shot the lights out, and had a great time. But
awesome.
The difference was that they didn't push him where he was not comfortable.
Sure.
They allowed him to develop in the same way as the other boys. It was just a little slower.
Yeah.
And that was fine. And I think in everything, no matter what it is, you or me with what we do, you can't push someone and say, you better buy this house. This, you know, and that's sometimes what happens. Got to
be
now.
Done at their own speed.
That's correct.
And I tell my patients that they'll say, when should I get, like, you'll tell me when you're ready.
That's right.
Because it's your knee, it's your hip. I don't know how bad this bothers you. So
Right. You know, physician, heal thyself. You just have to know when, you know, when the time is right.
Exactly.
And I think the most important thing is to understand yourself and not be too hard on yourself. So, but Lucas and Nicole will have a hard time in August, and that will be our first grandchild. You know,
it's that next milestone, right?
It is. It is.
So it's all good stuff. So, do you want to do some fun stuff now? Have you seen any of the episodes?
No, I have seen them, but I haven't seen the fun stuff. I've listened to some of them.
Yeah. Well, we do what's called the Sawbones Challenge. You up for that?
Sure.
Coming at you next, Sawbones Challenge.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
All right, everybody. Sawbones Challenge. I have Marsha Marsh here. All right, we're going to see where those Marsh boys get their athletic ability. So I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
We're going to play pit.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
So where'd the left-handedness come from in the Marsh household?
We do not know. Nobody is left-handed in our family.
Other than Lucas and Lucas. His son, right?
Yeah. I think Alexis also.
And then Noah.
Also, Noah, I think, is now too. So it's more than one. Yeah. But it's a... I think the big thing is to know how to defend them. That's one of the problems that they have had. You know, they're hard to defend when they're left-handed. Ah! I gotta make this one.
So you know your grandkids are rooting for you right
yes,
now, right?
Yes, I'm sure. I play basketball in the basement. I serve food.
What's your favorite meal to cook for the family?
That's a good
question. Do you have like a recipe that is like a Marsha Marsh special?
They like Parmesan chicken and they like spaghetti, but I usually make the spaghetti at Valerio's. I don't make my own.
I see a water creeper around the corner. There he is.
Hey, how are you?
This is our youngest. This is Luca. Can you introduce yourself?
Luca, how are you? I'm Marsha Marsh.
Nice
now,
to meet
what
you.
Grade are you in?
Going
into
fourth.
Where do you go to school?
Asbury.
Oh, then you know the twins. Mm-hmm. You know, Lawton and Layton.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes.
You gotta come over here. I just made this.
I
weren't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
Were you?
Well, I wasn't. I was talking.
All right, it's P.I. P.I. nothing.
Your dad's gonna win. Beat me.
Oh, no. So she has four boys. And then 12 grandkids. But her oldest boy, Lucas, you'll have to see his pair of shoes that she brought for the Sawbones.
What do you think? What do you think they are? What kind of shoes do you think they are?
Jordans.
Oh, yes, that's what they are.
Here we go.
Are they?
No, they're not. You'll definitely, ooh, P.I. to P. Marsha's making a comeback. Uh-oh. This isn't good.
I'll probably beat him. Nuts. It's okay.
And these shoes are not only cool, but they're very special. There's a special thing that happened when her son was wearing these shoes. Oh, that's what
you really
call shooter's roll. Home court advantage right there. That's all she wrote.
I'm not following through very well.
All right, folks.
Hey.
Come back over here. We're going to do our, there it is. P to P-I-G or P to P-I-G. So, Marsha Marsh, thank you so much.
Okay,
so we're back from the Sawbones Challenge. And Marsha, I just want to thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your busy schedule to come over here. Thank you for being flexible. I know we were supposed to record yesterday. I was down at the property that I told you about and had to get some stuff done down there. But It's been an absolute pleasure. I love talking to new people, and not that you're new, because I've known you for over a decade now, but to learn a lot more about you, where you came from, your family, your four boys, your 12 grandkids, your husband. It's just been a real pleasure.
I appreciate being here.
Yeah.
And talking to you as well.
It's been fun.
And it has been.
I'm going to see a lot of these Marsh grandchildren, because they're a lot of similar ages as our boys.
Right.
And just watching them compete against each other, play with each other, and looking forward to many years of seeing you. And I remember running into you last year at a Gannon game, and we were able to chat there for about 10-15 minutes. And you're just such a warm personality and very, very easy to talk to. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So thank you again
for
doing this.
Yep.
We'll do the kid fist bump.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So for all our guests out there, I always ask you, please subscribe. Please like, make comments if you have any people that you'd like to see as guests. And I think you mentioned your son Laban has a podcast and would love to get him on. So Laban, this is a shout out to you. We got to get you on here. Got to get you in the hot seat over here. Talk a little bit more about your UConn days. Maybe you could get Dan Hurley on here. That'd be awesome to get him on the podcast. We can obviously do that virtually. But so if you have any comments, suggestions, people you'd like to see, please shoot those to us. And as always, thank you for tuning in. Have a great day and get out there, be active, enjoy the community, enjoy the beautiful weather that we have here in Northwest Pennsylvania, and have a great day.
Well, I have loved some fish around in the outdoors where I'm free. It's where I spend my time. In my knee, when that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in this condition? I says, hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. I wanna know, doc, tell me all about it, Doc.
As a disclaimer, this podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professional from any such conditions.